Psalms 100. Continue to witness to people. Continue to witness to people. Live right in the workplace. Some of you people won't follow you because it's two of you. It's the church you, and then there's the work you. And they won't follow you. And until you start living right, read your Bible on your phone at work. Because they're looking for something else. And what God's called us to do is to gather material so he can build his body. That's your responsibility. You should have enough word. You get enough word around here that it don't even make no sense. Spiritually, you are under a demonic palm or thumb. If you sit here week after week and you don't change, somehow the enemy is in your life and he's disrupting your ability to learn or get an understanding. Because if nothing else, you get enough to where you can follow me when I minister and teach, because I'm not all over the place. And the scriptures, most cases, maybe not today as much, but in most cases, they are systematically put together to where if you got any sense of reasoning or just natural logic, you can follow me. Now, what he do to many of you is that he distracts you because you won't pop your kid's butt and make them sit down. Or he'll make your mind wonder about stuff that ain't got any bearing on your life. It ain't no real importance. He's so clever. Devilish, but clever. We need to get serious about building the body of Christ. I'm serious. We got plenty of people around us to where we could be ministering to them on a day-to-day basis. And you shouldn't be embarrassed at this church. If you think you're embarrassed of this church, you should be embarrassed of you. Because it's more positive to go around here than negative. I guarantee you that. And I don't compare myself or our ministry to other ministries in the city. I mind my own business. But I can guarantee you that it's more going on right here than wrong here. Don't drink other people's Kool-Aid by making you think they're doing something great. People love to perform for events. Silly Christians leave their church because somebody was performing at an event, a conference. So don't be silly. Psalms 100. It says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. I'm going, boy, this is going to be so good. I tasted it. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is good. It is he who made us and we not ourselves. We God's people. Say, we God's people. Some of you could say it. Some of you are unsure. Some of you are not. Say, we are God's people. And the sheep of his pasture, into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with what? Praise. Give him a praise right there real quick. Because some of you done missed praise and worship. You came in late. Give the Lord a praise right there. Some of you sat down all through praise and worship. You ain't did nothing, and you trying to enter in his gates. Give him a praise right there. Give him a praise right there. No sense in going no further. People don't praise the Lord. You just wasting your time. You wasting God's time. Hallelujah. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercies endureth forever, and he faithful to all generations that will allow him to be. He faithful no matter what. He gonna do what he say he gonna do. The Bible says whether you do what you say you gonna do or not, he is faithful that promised. Isn't that good news? Father, think through my mind, speak through my mouth that your people be edified, you be glorified after hearing the word of truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Father, I decrease, ask for utterance, I ask for the anointing, I ask for you to do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have your seat. We're going to be talking about dealing with negative attitudes with Thanksgiving. Negative attitudes. Because your attitude is going to determine your altitude. It's going to determine how far you go up. When you see people going down, the attitude is connected to that somehow. Because natural things shouldn't bring our attitude down, because stuff gonna happen to all people in this life. Nobody's exempt. Nobody's exempt. And so when you start thinking about this particular psalm, it's probably one of the most beautiful psalms I think you're gonna read in the Bible, because it breeds gladness. It brings happiness. It's supposed to encourage and strengthen us, because when people are thankful to God, do you know what's happening? Something is happening in their heart. You ever come to church and feel in some kind of way, and the praise and worship was amazing, and before it was over, you was in a different place in God. Didn't want to come. Before you got to the preached word, your heart was massaged. You was in a different place, because when you give thanks and praise to God, no matter what, God shows up in your circumstances. Because why? God is good. Say, God is good. He's not only merciful when you read this, he is benevolent, meaning that he's faithful to do for people what he said he was going to do for them, especially if they've received his promise. Now, you hold that thought. You hold that thought. You receive his promise. Do you know some people you can't speak into? They won't allow it. You can't help them. That you can't speak into them. They won't receive what the Lord is saying. They won't receive his promise. But when you receive the promises of God, something happens in you that life can't rob you of. That you say, I got something in my spirit. I'm not going to let it go. Time and chance going to happen to us all. And even if I'm on the bottom, the last shall be first. The first shall be last. The last shall be first and the first shall be last. And if I wait my turn, I'll get my chance. I'm not worried about it. I'm not going to be depressed about it. I'm not going to be down and out about it. I'm not going to be whining and crying about it. Say, God is going to come through. And so you have to deal with negative attitudes. And I'm going to tell you how you can tell. One of the ways is that when you're dealing with people with a negative attitude, the room could be lit up till they walk in. It's like they suck all the air out of it. You can tell it even when you go home. Everybody's bubbling and joyous. and you walk in the room and like all the air gets sucked out. You're dealing with a person with a negative attitude. And based off of your authority or authority over their life, they may or may not say anything to you, but you just felt all the energy leave the room because the negative energy sucked it out. And how many know that it's hard for God to move when that happens? And you have to deal with the negative attitude because the attitude is really conveying what's happening inside of you. It's what's going on in your spirit. It's what you really believe, what you really think, what you really have faith that's going to happen, because sometimes we have more faith in the negative happening than God coming through with a breakthrough. You can use faith in both directions. You can use faith to pull in the negative, just like you can use faith to pull in the positive. And that's why the devil is so creative, sister. He'll get people, when God start blessing them, he start getting them to say dumb stuff like, God, it's just been so much good happening. I know something bad is going to happen. You know what they doing? They sucking the positive out the atmosphere. God start moving in the church. They start looking for something negative to happen, something negative to speak on. Tell somebody, say, keep your mouth shut. Don't promote the negative. Don't promote the negative. Don't promote the, don't give the negative the high place in your life. You look down at the negative, and we'll figure out why we look down at it shortly. He says, shout to the Lord, all the earth, serve the Lord with gladness. Watch this. Come before him with joyful singing. In other words, your attitude can keep you out of his presence. Everybody say, your character has to be joyous. It has to be shouting. It has to be singing. Everybody do it at different levels. It has to be with gladness. It has to be with cheerfulness. That's why you hear me tell people, if you don't want to be here, stay at home. Don't suck the air, don't suck the God out the atmosphere because you don't want to be here. We came in believing God. We come in looking for a miracle. We come in with gladness in our heart. Stay home. Watch it online. But don't suck the atmosphere. Don't change the atmosphere because you soured. And you bitter, and you feel like you're doing God a favor, and we doing, pastor gonna call us or text us. The older you get, the more you realize how to protect your peace from other people's negativity. You start to realize that no matter what you think or no matter what you go through, I'm not going to let it get into me. I'm happy. I got joy bells ringing in my soul. I'm not going to let you pull me down. I'm happy. This is a good day for me. This is a bad day for you. Then stay over there. I'm happy. Don't come in my space. Don't get in my face. I'm happy. Anybody happy today? So you don't let people pull you down. You don't let their problems become your problems. They knew. See, most of the time, problems just don't just show up out of nowhere. There's a sequence of events that lead up to the problem. They could have handled that a long time ago, but then they come to you like it's your emergency. Say, it's not my emergency. And it's not my problem. You could have did something about this 6 months ago. So you have to watch that. Say, dealing with negative attitudes. He said, know that the Lord is God. The Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. How many know that you only who you are because God made you? You only working where you working because God made that happen for you. You only married because God made that happen for you. You only still in your right mind because God made that happen for you. You only healed not because of some medicine. No, God made that happen for you. You only got the house because God, your credit was jacked up. God made that happen for you. You got the job and you still ain't qualified now, but the people love to have you around and they keep advancing you and promoting you. Why? Help me out, because God made it happen for you. I'm telling somebody, God, get ready to make it happen for you. Keep the right attitude. Keep your eyes looking up. Stay in the positive lane. Let devils drive in the negative lane. You hop in the positive lane. Let devils complain in the negative lane. You hop in the positive lane. God gonna meet you. Some people don't need God because life is good for them. And they're willing to do whatever the devil tells them to do just so he'll stay off of them. Temporarily. But I'd rather be going through with God with the right attitude than to call myself living with the devil and he leaving me alone. I'd rather be going through with God than to be living and walking in devilish nature and the devil call himself leaving me alone. Say, deal with your negative attitude. That's the negative attitude. So he says, we his people, the sheep of his pasture. Then he says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his court. I wrote this down, but I didn't put it in there, but I couldn't do it. My computer was messing up somehow this morning. But anyway, courts is the place where spiritual judgments are taking place. It's like a courtroom. And when God is trying to make a decision sometime, the right attitude can help that. Some of you better pay attention to this. Because we've all seen cases, whether it be on TV or maybe you come out of them, and all the evidence was in favor of the person, but the judge ruled against them because they were so unruly and their attitude was nasty. And he would have favored them had they just came in with some form of humility, some form of, you know, remorse or some form of whatever that would show that the judge that I'm throwing myself at the bench. I'm throwing myself at the mercy of the court. Yeah, I did it. Yeah, you know what? I can't lie. You know, and this is the reason why I did it. It still don't make it right, but this is why I did it, Judge. And I'm throwing myself at the mercy of the bench. And what we're asking him to when we say that is that I'm asking you to show forth some compassion and mercy and rule in my favor. See, if your attitude is right, even when you've done wrong, tell somebody, say, God will rule in your favor. God will still rule in your favor. He's not ignoring what happened. He still have to deal with that. And sometimes the penalty does not match what you did, though. God is going to rule in your favor. So the question is, how many know that sin, that it's a sin to say you serving God and be unhappy? We just read it. It's a sin to be serving, say you serving God and be unhappy. This is messing up mostly. Look at their face right now. Look at your neighbor's face. See if they happy or sad. It's a sin to say you are serving God and be unhappy. Come into his presence with singing. Serve the Lord with gladness, not sadness. You can't serve the Lord with sadness because you can't even come into his presence like that. You come into his presence, into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. This explains why people can sit in churches for months and years and God don't do nothing, because they're trying to serve the Lord with unhappiness. Unhappiness is an act of your will. And you can't serve the Lord. I'm teaching this right, whether you say amen or not. You can't serve the Lord being unhappy. You can perform tasks in church. You can fulfill an office, but you're not serving the Lord yet. Because how are you supposed to serve the Lord? Help me out. With gladness. How are you supposed to serve the Lord with? How are you going to serve the Lord with? Not sadness. You can't serve the Lord with sadness, because his commandments are not grievous or burdensome. His yoke is easy. His burden is light, meaning that no matter what God asks us to do, he's already done all the heavy lifting. What he asks you to do, you are yet able to do it, and you have to do it with the right type of attitude. See, sometimes people are serving the Lord and they're doing it with the wrong attitude. Why are they always calling on me? Why they always need me? And God say, you're not serving me. You're doing that for them, because you can't serve me with sadness or an attitude. You can only serve me with gladness. I put it in your face. I put it on your plate because I knew you could handle it. Can we be spiritually lazy sometimes? People can be so stinking spiritually lazy that everything that God asked them to do is a burden. Pick up the paper, burden. Clean the parking lot, burden. Sing, burden. Teach, burden. Sound, burden. Give them a hug, burden. Lift your hand, burden. Shout to the Lord, burden. I don't feel like doing that, burden. Say, we're dealing with negative attitudes by interjecting thanksgiving. Do you know it's a privilege to serve in the house of God? That's why I don't beg people. I don't care if they do it or not. I don't lose my reward. They lose their reward. Can you take a blessing that belongs to another person? What God has for me, it is for me. It was for you. You don't get the reward because you wouldn't serve with gladness. I did what God told you to do. So why would God reward you and I did the work? It's this Bible. Yes, the boy had 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread. You remember that story? Jesus takes the 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread, takes the boy Captain D's meal, bless it. He feeds 5,000 people with that boy's lunch. They had 15 bags left. Who do you think Jesus told them to give them to? Those bags didn't go to no disciples. It was his lunch. The fragments, because it's 5,000 people, it seems like fragments, but when God used your stuff, he rewards you. Why would he reward you for a task that you didn't do, but she did? You don't get the reward. It was for you, but it's not for you no more. It's their reward. And that's why you got to have the right attitude when you serve the Lord, because the Lord already said, I said this a few weeks ago, he replacing people. They would not do what he asked them to do. He getting rid of those people. If God is using you, how are you supposed to serve him? How are you supposed to serve him? It's a privilege for God to use you. When the church has a building project or an expansion, or we're trying to do something that requires people to give more, you don't complain about it because God gave you more. What should you do? You should be the first one in the line that's sowing, because I'm going to do it with gladness because God gave me more than he gave for them. How are you supposed to serve him with? In other words, you got to fix your attitude. You have to fix your face when you come into the house of God. You cannot render worship to God unhappy. How you go down in your secret closet, call yourself praying to God, and you unhappy? I've started to figure out why people say they have to they be in prayer 2-3 hours. It take them 2 hours and 45 minutes to kill their flesh because they go in there unhappy. They done spent 2 hours and 45 minutes longer than God required them, but he would not talk to them until they changed their stinking attitude. Say, change your attitude. You won't have to stay in there so long. Say, dealing with negative attitudes, because God ain't bothering you. Do you know if I feel like I'm bothering, I feel like I'm like God. I know I am. If I feel like I'm bothering you, I don't mess with you. Mm-hmm. You won't ever meet my needs by saying, huh. No. You keep it. You can't fix my plate and slide it across the table. And then I'm getting up and walking out. And I hope it made a mess all over the floor and the wall, because I'm not cleaning it up. Say, serve with gladness. See, brother, many times we mess up our whole day as husbands trying to fix our wives' attitude. I know I'm going to get no amens. Her attitude is her attitude. And you buying a new ring ain't going to change it. It's going to put you in debt, and both of y'all going to have an attitude when the bills start coming, because her attitude ain't necessarily directly connected to you. Her attitude is connected to her own, our brother, his attitude is connected to his own will. He's upset because he want to be upset. He acting a donkey because he want to act a donkey. What should you do? We going to the McDonald's. Come on, kids. But I'm not going to let you suck all the air out of our day. Say, deal with your own negative attitude. Deal with your own. And how do you do it? With Thanksgiving. You could have been dead. You didn't even have to wake up today. You didn't have to have what you got right now. Some of us don't even deserve the partner that God gave us in the form of a spouse, because we live such ratchet lives before that should have disqualified us, but then God save you and change you and say, huh, I'm going to give you a good man. Huh, I'm going to give you a good woman. Huh, I'm going to give you a good job. Say, deal with your negative attitude. So all this grumbling and disputing, Philippians 2:14 talks about, he says that you may be blameless, do all things without grumbling and disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent. Grumbling and disputing, listen to me carefully, is in many cases you trying to defend yourself. I just told you you had to enter in his courts with thanksgiving. The grumbling and the complaining is about you trying to defend yourself. See, a lot of people lose court cases because they would not shut up and let the advocate defend them. Jesus is your advocate. If he's sitting there representing your case, he knows that whatever the devil is saying about you is not going to hold weight, or he can defend you. You should just shut up and sit there and let your advocate defend you. But no, you want to be grumbling and complaining, murmuring and backbiting, fussing and cussing, which is a reflection of your negative attitude, when you should be just thinking, I thank God that I'm sitting by an advocate that's never lost a case. I thank God that I got an attorney that's never lost a case. I thank God that every person that he's ever represented, that he has gotten off. And I know this don't mean much to you because you're ungrateful. A good attorney can get the worst and the most vile people off. Because most of the time they take the case, they don't really know whether you're guilty or innocent. But by the time they start representing you, they done figured you out. They're bound, though. They can't say nothing. If you tell them the whole truth, nothing but the truth, they still got to represent you like you innocent. How many know that Jesus represents us just like we innocent? Isn't that enough to be thankful for? Think about who you were. Think about what you've done in your life and all the stuff that you didn't pay for. We be grumbling about some consequences, and God be like, I done got you off almost every time you came for me. The only time you have paid for anything is when you try to represent yourself. Say, deal with your own negative attitude. I watched a young couple leave. They sitting where Sister Reese is sitting at. I watched them leave this church because God had used me to say across the pulpit, hey, ain't nobody going to make no big deal about you around here. You better get in where you fit in. If you waiting for somebody to make a big deal because you showed up, don't look at nobody and say, keep it moving. Because you're not doing nobody no favor. The preached word is designed by God to help you. The truth of it is, I don't even like preaching to people that don't read their Bible. I'm talking about me. Because you can't never give them revelation. I don't like preaching to people that don't pray. You can't go in the realm of the spirit because they can't meet you. It's like a college professor teaching preschool. It ain't no fun because you can't explore the depths of their revelation. They got to come up. How many know that it's time for some of you to come up? You scratching the bottom still. It's time for you to come up and meet God at some revelatory places that can change your life. Say, deal with your attitude first, though. So can praising and thanking God shift negative attitudes towards positive? Watch this. You ain't got to get up. Praise the Lord right there. You don't have to get up. Just praise him right there, real quick. Keep the right type of energy in the air. Because God is trying to position some of you for a breakout moment. God is trying to change some things in your home. He's trying to shift your mind from depression to joy. He's trying to give you your spirit of joy back. But you got to shift it with thanksgiving and praise. Negative things going to happen to everybody. It's how you process it. Like some people won't let stuff go. They stuck in the negative. They won't allow God to heal them. That's why they're not healed. They stuck in the negative. They won't allow God to advance them. They stuck in the negative. And here's the thing about it. Go to Deuteronomy 8 for a second, please. He says so many people are down because they believe they deserve a perfect life. That's just entitlement. They don't want just a wife. They want a perfect wife. They even had a song a long time ago. 36. Come on, brothers. 24. Some people might like 47. 36. They said that was a winning hand. Brick house, yeah, brick house, cool in the game. But ain't no such thing as no perfect wife. So they give a, they and no perfect husband. So they want to complain about the wife that God gave them that in many cases they don't even deserve. Because they want a perfect wife. Do you know why people can't enjoy their life? Because they want a perfect life. That's many people in the body of Christ, that's their main problem. They listen to too many people's lives. Lying lives. And they think that y'all walking on sunshine. They think your marriage is perfect. How many actors come to church? People will make you think that they're doing so well economically. They pinching pennies. They worried about image. They want to show you that they got something. But they broke. They pitching pennies because they want you to think their life is perfect. And they know their life not perfect. But they got to create this image to fool people. And because you don't have enough spiritual sense to realize that ain't nobody got no perfect life, you always grumbling and complaining about your life, and it keeps you trapped in the negative. You coming out of negativity today to positivity. God is working on your soul. He working on your soul. Because you're not enjoying your life because you waiting for some perfect life. That's the next life. When you die, then it's going to all be perfect. In this life, you're going to have tribulations. In this life, you're going to have pain. In this life, you're going to get sick sometime. In this life, you're going to come up under warfare sometime. In this life, you're going to have marital problems sometime. In this life, you're going to lose a job and you ain't done nothing to lose it. In this life, see, what you expecting is the next life in this life. That's because you don't read your Bible. Because it clearly tells you that that's not going to happen down here. But God can make it good. Good ain't about the circumstances. Good is how you process it. Good is about you finding God no matter what the circumstances is. If you can find God in a negative circumstances, God has been good to you. If you can come out from under oppression and you can find God, God has been good to you. If you can see how God has turned it in your favor, God has been good to you. If you realize that if it had not been God that allowed you to go through what you went through, you never was going to change. You never was going to live saved. You never was going to stop whoremongering. You never was going to stop drinking. You got the DUI to save your life because God was watching over his word to make sure that you lived and not died. God has been good to you. But we be looking for perfection. No such thing as perfection. You can mature, but not from the standpoint of what you think. So in Psalms 100, God starts to deal with negative attitudes. And he's reminding the children of Israel in Psalms 100. He's warning them, rather, in Psalms 100. He's warning them of what he's saying in Deuteronomy 8 and 11. He says, when you come into the promised land, and you settle down in your little warm houses. And you have plenty to eat. Don't forget about me. Yeah. Forgetting means to stop remembering. It's to ignore what God has done. It's a dismissive mindset. It's abandonment in spirit and thought. It's neglect. It's to cease to care about what God done for you. And watch this. It's about putting God out of your conscience. The stuff that God done for you. How God done help you this far. It's to forget about God. He said, when you done got your little houses, when you done got your little breakthrough, don't forget about me. When your bank account is full and you got the job that you wanted and you're no longer fighting in your marriage, what you're supposed to do? Don't forget about me. When you're feeling fulfilled in your life and you don't survive the surgery and you're no longer sick and think you're going to die, don't forget about me. When your business is booming and your child is no longer in jail or on drugs, don't forget about me. When your spiritual warfare is over and you're no longer depressed and oppressed, when your mind is whole now and you're no longer suicidal, don't forget about me. When your husband come back home and leave his baby mama to come back home to take care of you and his children, don't forget about me. When God done answered your prayer and done visited you and anointed you, what are you supposed to do? Don't forget about me. He said, I led you out the wilderness when you was lonely and nobody would hire you and the devils was attacking your mind and I brought you into a land flowing with milk and honey. Don't forget about me. And that's what he's telling somebody today. You can thank God for the comfort. You can thank God that you're not in your past, but don't forget about what God has done for you or doing for you, because that'll make you entitled. Some people, God can't take them no further because they done forgot what he done. They forgot what their life should have been like. They thought they deserved that man or that woman after you done ran through all the men and women and God still gave you a husband. They thought they deserved the type of car or the house that they get and drive and live in because they are entitled. They think they deserve good health even though they have done all manner of things against their body. They eat anything. They drink anything. They'll stay up all times of night and they think they, no, you don't deserve it. God is being good to you. God has been better to us than we've been to ourselves. Give the Lord a good hand of praise. Just stay sitting down. Give him a good hand of praise. You don't deserve the health. You don't deserve the wealth. You don't deserve the man. God just was good to you. You didn't deserve to survive. God was just good to you. God was just good to you. God was being merciful to you. God was uttering a promise to you. God was trying to be kind to you. Why? Because God loves you. God was being good to you. When you was mistreating yourself, God was being good to you. We ought to give God thanks for that. When we done survived what we should have died at, God was being good to you. When you've overcome, you better know God was being good to you. I thank God that he has been good to me. I look back over my life, things that God has brought me through, situations where other people died in. I walked away with no scar. I walked away with no psychological trauma or strauma. God was good to me. When other people was kicking down doors and God said, no, you're not going over there, God was being good to me. I thank God. Sit down for a second. So he told them, he says, let them know they need a reminder. This is your reminder. He was reminding them, don't forget where you come from. Life may not be perfect where you're sitting right now, but it's showing what it was from where you come from. And he is baiting people out of the body of Christ because they're looking for a perfect life in this life.
And they are negative in becoming sour on God, because the truth of it is that they counting other people's breakthroughs and blessings. And they're saying, God, why are you good to them and you not being good to me? If you'll wait your turn, you'll get your chance. God know where you at. He'll find you. But he'll say, their marriage is perfect. My marriage is going through. Financially, they are straight. We are struggling. God say, I'm going to make it to you. Keep your attitude right. They are getting promoted. We ain't never got promoted. Keep your attitude straight. God going to make it to you. Tell somebody, God going to make it to you. Keep your attitude straight. See, your attitude is so powerful. It conveys openly to people what you really think. You mad? Snatch away from me. You mad? What's she say? No, I'm not mad. Snatch away from me. You mad? Should you believe that? Come on, brothers. Her attitude is communicating openly what she's thinking about. And we be wanting God to move. And God is saying, your attitude is wrong. You asking me to save your husband, and you acting like this. Your attitude is wrong. You asking me to give you the abundance and the harvest, and if anybody asks you for anything, you got the worst attitude. How can I bless you with my giving and you won't be a giver? Your attitude is wrong. Some of the stingiest people ask God for the most. They won't do nothing for nobody. They won't help nobody. They won't go see about nobody. Say your attitude is wrong. If you deal with your attitude, we'll see God come through like a rushing mighty wind. Tell somebody, you got next. Fix your attitude. Say, I know you've been watching me. You got next. Fix your attitude. I know you've been upset, but you got. So he says, he did all these things so that you'll never say to yourself, I achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. He said, remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful. Do you know what I've watched, Sister Michelle? I've watched over and over. I've watched people come in, nothing. Mm-hmm. No, right here. Come in with nothing. Marriage busted, all kind of health issues. Promote them, elevate them, give them great opportunities. Success, what we would say success. And then the minute that God starts fulfilling and doing what he say, they pull away from God. Do you know, he says, that you'll, he says, don't forget this. He says, this is what Moses told him. He says, in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath, he says, but I'm going to tell you this. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, worshiping and bowing down to them, you're going to certainly be destroyed. And I've watched God come in and do things for people. And then the minute that he start blessing them, they start pulling away from God. Don't you know that that's never going to work? Don't you know that what you began in the realm of the spirit, you have to maintain it in the realm of the spirit? Meaning no matter how good or bad your life is, you still cannot forget that it is God who got you where you're going, God who got you where you at, God who's going to fulfill what he promised to you. You're not going to do it by yourself. And what the devil does to people, he start making them, see, God will put you before, he said, your gift to take you before great men and women. Mm-hmm. They not greater than him. So he gets you there. He gets your gift before these great people. They do something good for you at that level because it was at God's discretion, and then you start giving them the credit. They pull away from God and start drawing to them. How many know that that's going to fail eventually? God is your source. Say that three times. God is my, say it again. God is my, say it again. God is my, I'm thankful unto the Lord. I'm thankful for the Lord that he used you. Say, God is my source. I'm thankful that you sold to this ministry. You only got it because God gave it to you. You're not doing nobody no favor. God is our source. And if you won't do it, and if you won't do it, he'll give it to her to do it. And if she won't do it, he'll give it to me to do it. And if I won't do it, he'll give it to you to do it. Say, God is my source. Don't get in your feelings and start thinking you're doing something. Anybody need a reminder? You still got your right mind. Give God thanks. You living at a level that you know you don't deserve to live at. Give God thanks. You living at a level where people with more education than you ain't living at. Give God thanks. You living in a house that you know you probably shouldn't even be in. Give God thanks. Your marriage survived the adulterous affair. Give God thanks. Thank God that your baby survived death when the doctor said that the prognosis was not good. Give God thanks. Give God thanks that you survived the cancer. Give God thanks that you survived the heart surgery. Give God thanks that your heart is joyful again. Give God thanks. It's the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyesight. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyesight. It's the Lord's doing, and it should be marvelous in your eyesight. Give God thanks. It's not man. It's never man. It's always God. It's not man. It's never man. Who is it? Who is it? It's always God. It's always, sit down. It's always God. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, in everything, give thanks to God, for this is the will of Christ concerning you. That word, and I'm going to end with this, that word, everything, is past, P-A-S. It means no exceptions. Everything, give thanks to God in everything, past, no exceptions. Now, I'm not giving God thanks because of everything. I'm giving God thanks in spite of everything because the Lord is good. So if God allow you to go into a situation, he never puts you in a situation that you cannot overcome or win at. That would mean if God puts you in a situation that you couldn't win in, that he set you up for failure. God would never set you up for failure. Now, there are some ways that God sends you that is the only way to your breakthrough. You have to go through that valley. That is the only course that you can take. It's difficult, but yet God say, I sent you that way, you can win. Some places you can't enter into that you got to kill giants, demons that have occupied your space. And God said, I cannot fight them for you. I will empower you with my spirit. He said, because they're not a comparable enemy for me, but you're going to gain some strength in this thing. You have to go that way. You have to encounter those enemies. Now, I'm not giving God thanks that I have to fight giants. I'm giving God thanks in spite of fighting the giants. Why? Because God is going to be with me. He's going to make all things work together for my good. Now, what people have taught people is that you give thanks to God for all things. Well, that don't make no sense because this is painful. This caused me anguish. This really set me back. But I give God thanks because he is going to make it work together for my good. And so if he's on the mountaintop, God is still good. If you're in the valley, God is still good. If you're fighting giants, God is still good. If you're going through the valley, God is still good. If God is going to see you out, shouldn't you be giving God thanks in advance? See, what happens is too many Christians are fair-weathered friends. They only shout when the battle is over. They only praise God after they get it. But they don't trust him that he sent them that way. So they won't praise him. Do you know why? Because they lean into their own understanding. And they're not acknowledging God. And when you don't acknowledge him, God won't give you no information that you don't ask for. So even though God would have told you that this is going to work out for your good, you never asked him. So you fighting a battle thinking God done forsook you. And God says, had you just asked me, I would have told you how this is going to end up. See, that's what wisdom does. God will give you wisdom in the situation to where you see the outcome. It shows you how the outcome is going to be. Why am I saying this? Your outcome and your prognosis is good. You're going to win. Your outcome is going to be victory. You're going to win. Give God thanks. In the end, no matter how this situation has started, God is going to be on your side. You're going to win. Give God thanks. In the end, you're not going to die from the sickness. God is going to ensure that he watches over your body. You're going to win. Your mind is intact. Your marriage is intact. Your ministry is going to be intact. Stand to your feet and give God praise for it right now. Let's get out of here. Give him some thanks that it's going to work out for you. I'll just stop right there. No, give him some real praise. Hey, y'all making me work too hard up the sound. You're making me work too hard up the sound. Now tell about five people around you. Say, give God thanks. Tell them, say, your attitude looks better. Give God thanks. I believe you believe the report of the Lord that is working out in your favor. Give God praise for it. Let the Lord know that no matter where you stand today, you know that it's working out for your favor. I'm going to thank you for it. I'm going to praise you for it. I know victory is mine. Hallelujah. You don't have to worry. It's working for your good. You don't have to be sour. It's working for your good. You don't have to lose hope. It's working for your good. 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 Give God a good shout right there.